Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God, our Father, and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Our text this morning is John 10, verse 14. I am the good shepherd. I know my own, and my own know me, just as the Father knows me, and I know the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. As mentioned before, this morning's intro, it begins with the words, "The earth is full of the steadfast love of the Lord." These are words from Psalm 33. And they reflect upon the words of our text this morning. We often refer to this Sunday as Good Shepherd Sunday. And this morning, the steadfast love of the Lord is revealed in Christ, who is the Good Shepherd. Now, those words are very common for Christians, that image of Jesus, the Good Shepherd. Even though very few people are really into what a Middle Eastern shepherd does, or for that matter, Middle Eastern, how they dealt with sheep. Regardless of that, most people have this mental image of Jesus, the Good Shepherd. This image has been reinforced by bulletin covers, by Sunday school materials, and even by pictures that adorn our homes. But who is the Good Shepherd? And why is he the Good Shepherd? To know about the Good Shepherd, we first must be aware of what is on the opposite side of things, the bad shepherd, or as John talks about, the hireling, the hired man, the hired hand. For Jesus, these were the Pharisees and the other religious leaders of the day. They did not care for the sheep, the people of Israel. They cared more for their own honor, their prestige. And they prided themselves on obeying the laws. Now, the problem with religious leaders did not begin here with Jesus, the Pharisees of Jesus' day, but it goes back even further. And so we have that word from Ezekiel. The word of the Lord came to him regarding the bad shepherds. Ah, shepherds of Israel, who have been feeding yourselves, should not shepherds feed the sheep? The weak you have not strengthened, the sick you have not healed, the injured you have not bound up, the strayed you have not brought back, the lost you have not sought, and with force and harshness you have ruled them, so they were scattered because there was no shepherd, and they became food for the wild beasts. So bad shepherds were a problem way back in the days of the Old Testament. And yet, are there bad shepherds around us today? Of course, as we hear from Scripture, there is nothing new under the sun. Yes, there remain people who are not good shepherds. These are the people that try to separate the sheep from the fold and scatter them, where they become vulnerable to sheep, to wolves, and other marauders. These are the people who promote false teaching, who promote another gospel other than salvation through faith in Christ. They minimize, deplore, and reject the teaching of Christ as we have that in Scripture. You've all experienced the mesmerizing call of these false shepherds. They come from the voices of the media, of Hollywood, literary works, college professors, and possibly even by theologians and pastors who are hirelings. But so much for the hirelings, for the false shepherds. What about the good shepherd? What about him? Well, Scripture says that he is the good shepherd. That means he's unique. There's no one else like him. He's one of a kind. And why is that? Scripture tells us this shepherd does not run when the wolf arrives, when danger appears. He protects the sheep with his very own life. Earlier in chapter 10, Jesus speaks of himself as the door. I am the door of the sheep. As the door, he stands between the sheep and those who would harm them. He shelters the sheep with his very own body. Put another way, Jesus says later, I laid down my life for the sheep. He is the door. He is the one who lays down his very life for the sake of the sheep. This is not like the hireling. This is not an empty promise. Jesus willingly laid down his life for the sake of the sheep. There on the cross, he willingly took the cup of God's wrath. This is what the Father wanted. And Jesus knew the Father's will and obeyed his Father's will. He himself bore our sins in his body on the tree. As Isaiah writes, he was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. Upon him was the chastisement that brought us peace, and with his wounds we are healed. This is the Good Shepherd. He bore our sins on the cross for the sake of the sheep. And so at the very heart of this image of the Good Shepherd is the cross. For it is at the cross that Jesus accomplished the saving of the lost sheep. Here he protects the sheep from the wolf and other dangers. This is what the Savior has done for you, the sheep of his church. Through the means of grace, through the word and sacrament, the shepherd draws you into his flock. Here, Sunday after Sunday, you listen to the voice of the Good Shepherd as he speaks to you the truth about the world, the truth about the world with its sin and death. But here you are also comforted with the voice of the same Good Shepherd who rose victorious over sin and death and the grave, who suffered that you might have that new life in Christ. Here you are reminded of Christ working in you in the water of baptism. Here you receive the very body and blood of Christ for the forgiveness of your sin. He gathers you into his flock so that you can listen to his voice and be comforted, for he knows you. He knows the sheep with an eternal intimacy. This intimacy parallels the relationship with the Father and the Son. The Father knows me, and I know the Father. And that eternal relationship is reflected in the relationship that the Son has with his sheep. He knows you. And part of that knowing you, his sheep, is awareness of the world that you live in. The Good Shepherd knows that this world that you live in is like, in the words of Psalm 23, like walking down the valley of the shadow of death. For in this valley of the shadow of death, there is much suffering. Suffering because of sin. Suffering because of wrongs that you have committed. But also suffering because you do the right thing. You say the right thing. And the Good Shepherd has set the standard for suffering. Peter writes about your life, especially in the face of suffering. He writes, "For to this, a life of suffering, you have been called, because Christ also suffered for you, leaving you an example so that you might follow in his steps." When suffering, Christ did not threaten, he did not revile, but he suffered in silence. Peter continues, entrusting himself to him who judges justly. Jesus committed himself to his Father's hands. For this was why he was baptized. And so Jesus kept his heart and lips from reviling and muttering against those who cast their suffering upon him. And finally he cried out, "Father, into your hands I commit my spirit." His suffering was for you, bearing your sins. So keep this in mind in the days and the hours of your suffering. Quietly bear that suffering and follow the Good Shepherd into those quiet waters and the green pastures. Keep your eyes of faith focused on the Good Shepherd so that you fear no evil, for the Good Shepherd is with you. His rod and his staff comfort you. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow you all the days of your life, and you shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Amen. May the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus.